5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
See, the difference between Farrah and I here is that Farrah not only wants to be invited to the party, she wants to go. I just want to be invited. I don't want to go to that many parties, but please invite me.
I'm with you.
Okay. But Farrah here is very, very confused. All right, Farrah, we're going to give you some closure here on why your friend didn't invite you to this birthday party. But for those that weren't listening a couple of minutes ago, you want to give us the rundown again on why you seem so confused?
Yeah, I mean, it's just my friend's having a birthday party this weekend, and I've known her for 5 years. We used to work together, and we were great friends. I went to her birthday last year in Nashville, and, you know, I found out through a friend she's having a birthday dinner this weekend, and I wasn't invited, and I just can't figure out if I offended her or something.
All right, so something happened.
And I don't blame you for feeling, obviously, for feeling excluded, because you have been excluded. And so I think it's a fair question to ask.
I think she probably is just finding out that, and it's tough, like when birthdays and weddings and stuff come around, you kind of find out where you rank in people's lives. I mean, like when it comes to bridesmaids, like you're literally ranked in front of everyone's friends and family. Like the people that are closest to the bride get to stand closest to the bride on the wedding day. And a birthday dinner is kind of like a low grade version of that. Like you find out who the most important people are to you, because those are the people that get the invite.
Like I'm doing something for my birthday in a couple of weeks, and there's a limited amount of spots. So whoever I've known the longest, those are the ones that got the invite.
Is that your warning here to some of us?
Yes.
That's how I was taking it.
I'll lower my expectations.
Let's get this out the way right now.
It's nothing personal. You've just been here too short.
If I've known you for over a decade, you got invited.
Yeah, it's like a cut list. It's like a football or a baseball cut list. A lot of these parties.
You look
like
at the list to see if your name is on
there. Oh, you remember doing that, like going to the gym doors to look at the paper to see if your name was up there?
So much anxiety.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. So our show director, Tommy, reached out to the friend to find out why you were not invited to this particular birthday. And he's got answers for you. Okay. You ready, Farrah?
I think so.
All right, Tommy, take it, man.
All right, Farrah. I hope you got your thick skin on, because this one might hurt. So I reached out to your friend. We're calling her Cameron, and I emailed Cameron. I said, hello, Cameron. My name's Tommy. I'm the show director for a morning radio show called The Burt Show. Friend of yours recently reached out to us wondering why you didn't invite her to your birthday party this weekend, especially since she was a part of your birthday trip last year. Farrah says she's racked her brain and can't think of anything she said or done that would have offended you enough to exclude her. It would mean a lot to Farrah if you would respond and explain so she could have a better understanding of what's going on or what happened. Thanks and happy early birthday. And she responded. She said, hello, Tommy. I am familiar with the show. Responding to this email isn't what I'd like to be doing days before my birthday, but here we are.
You do. But before you continue, Tommy, It is one of those things like... You are and you aren't, but like, Farrah, you're making her birthday about you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah.
I mean, you are.
Yeah. Keep listening.
Well, it's too late for that observation.
Oh, okay.
Cameron said, I contemplated not responding, but Farrah does deserve to know the truth. Not inviting her was taking the coward's way out, so now I'm going to woman up and tell her why. It's because she's obsessed with money and flaunting how much money she has. It's really off-putting. When she moved over to her new job, she got a bigger title and a fatter paycheck. She's making about double what we make. How do I know that? Because she shared that with us on my birthday trip last year. Listen, I'm here to pump up all my friends. I want to see them succeed and love when they do. But I'm also here to see them stay humble. Last year on my birthday trip, she complained about our Airbnb not being nice enough. The wine we bought not being fancy enough. The restaurants we went to weren't upscale enough. I get it. She has champagne taste and a champagne budget. We do not. My birthday party is at a low-key Mexican restaurant this weekend. The last thing I wanted there was Farrah complaining about the food and the atmosphere not being upscale enough for her. It's just a turnoff and really changes the vibe. I truly wish Farrah well. I'm glad she's so successful, but the money and success has changed her.
Yeah. You don't need these non-bougie people in your life.
Who wants to hang out with people who don't eat caviar?
A bunch of broke asses. Where are you with all that, Farrah? Do you feel that? Have you felt that? Do you remember complaining about all that?
I might have made some suggestions on some of the stuff that I like, but I never told her what nothing. This is, I feel like, I made some suggestions. That's all. I didn't tell her anything was good enough. I thought we were all having a good time. And I was like, recommend. This is so out of the blue.
So when you suggest a better wine or you suggest a better Mexican restaurant, she might have taken that the wrong way.
Especially on her birthday.
Yeah.
I think the repetition of it, too, is probably, like, it would have been one thing if you made, like a suggestion. But if everything they're doing, you're making a suggestion, that person on the other side of it, you're going to make them feel like nothing they're doing is good enough for you.
I mean, I was just trying to, like, make sure we were all having a good time. I didn't think I was offending anybody. Nobody said anything in the moment.
I'm going to come to Farrah's defense here for a little bit, because especially with women, sometimes they take things that you say and they hear what they're either afraid that you're actually saying, or they take what you're saying and actually make it what they want to hear. So I think in this case, maybe she made a couple of comments that maybe could be skewed to amplify some insecurities that Cameron is feeling. So maybe Cameron is feeling a little insecure that she didn't get this new job and she's not making as much money as Farrah. Mm-hmm. So then Farrah says a couple of things about, like, oh, we should get this bottle of wine. And even though it's double the price, maybe you're not clocking that because maybe in the back of your mind, you're going to treat everybody. But all your friend Cameron is hearing is, oh, well, she's suggesting that because she can't afford it. And then you do that a couple of times over the course of a weekend where it can be a really high pressure situation where you're constantly around these people, to where she might have had some built up resentment. So maybe you weren't being as blatant about the money thing as she's expressing, but it's clear that it's rubbing her the wrong way.
See, I was very blatant. As soon as I started making more money, I had everybody submit their W-2 tax forms. And those that made a certain amount are still in my circle, and those aren't, well, they're gone.
Write it on the list. Which one of your friends can continue being your friends?
Well, Farrah, now you know. And so you can take that information and do with it what you want.
Yeah, I guess. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you can circle back around them now and tell her, hey, sorry about the miscommunication, but I don't know if it's going to change anything or not.
Not if she wishes me well. Clearly, she's, like, ending this friendship.
Mm. Well, I'd offer to be friends with you, but I'm broke, so. Move along.
You can't afford fair.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
We know the last thing in the world that you want when you're listening to a radio morning show is philosophical questions. So let's hit you with a couple of them right now. Kristen left this one for us. All right, so this was on Instagram. We all have to answer this. You meet your 18-year-old self. You're only allowed three words. What are they?
Mm-hmm.
Three words to tell your 18-year-old self. Okay, that was just last year for you, Abby. So what would you tell yourself last year?
So for me, I was trying to figure out something that would be both hopeful and encouraging without being too cryptic. Because for me, I live in worst case scenario land and always think the worst is going to happen. So I wanted to give myself something that would give a little bit like hint that like things are going to be okay, but everything I came up with kind of I could still spin to be worst case scenario.
Can we dive into that for just 1 second?
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the defense mechanism there? So if you're, because it just seems so stressful to me to always think the common denominator in every problem is going to be the worst case scenario. Mentally, that would be exhausting for me.
Well, my last name is Murphy. Like what can go wrong will go wrong. Like I just, it's just naturally built into my DNA. I don't know what it is. I think it's maybe just me being kind of a naturally negative person and just,
save that.
I'm just constantly just living in a world of pessimism. And maybe if I think the worst is going to happen, then I'll prepare for the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it probably just comes down to the fact that I don't have enough free flowing serotonin.
That was well thought out. Apparently that's not the first time you've asked yourself this question.
Nope. Have you found yourself like in your past, whenever you do things, something inevitably will go wrong, and that sort of trained you to be like, well, something is definitely going to go wrong no matter what?
Yeah, it's probably a trauma response to something, and something horrible didn't happen in my past, but I think being a perfectionist, you just, and you're nothing is ever good enough. So I think my brain just kind of is always assuming that the worst is going to happen, because for me, the worst is literally anything less than my best.
So I got this weird thing about like energy in the universe. And I feel like if I go to worst case scenario in my head and I think it, then the universe is going to hear it. And that's what's going
to
happen.
That's exactly what I think. And I used to be the same way. I used to always wait for the other shoe to fall. I used to always think it's going to go bad. And then somebody one day told me, it literally takes the same amount of energy, Mo, to think that things will go right or to think that things will go wrong. So just try to think that things will go right and see what happens.
However, here's what I do connect with what you're saying in your philosophy. And Mo, I don't know if you're like this, but this is the way that I brace myself for sporting events. Every time my team is playing, I just know they're going to get their ass kicked that weekend. So that's what I tell myself. And I'm pleasantly surprised when they win, but I want to brace for the loss before it happens.
I do the same exact thing. I go in prepared to lose every single week.
Well, so it can also be like a form of control. Like if you think that the worst is going to happen, you can prepare for it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe in some weird messed up way, if you think the worst is going to happen, like the universe will hear it and be like, well, no, I'm not going to do that because she saw it coming.
you can't be disappointed if you expect the worst to happen.
Right.
You know, and I think if you're a perfectionist, like you say you are, Abby, and I think we have some similarities, like if you do something and something does go wrong, like I beat myself up. I'm like, I should have prepared for that. That was really dumb of me. Of course that was going to happen. How could I not see it coming?
Yeah. So the words that I gave my 18-year-old self were words that came to me in a vision when I was around like 23, and I was kind of in a low place at my old job where I was kind of like, everything sucks and I'm going to quit. And I heard this weird voice in the back of my head, because I hear voices, and not all the time, but every now and then.
Okay, so she's not a perfectionist. It's schizophrenia.
I'm just mentally ill.
We are really learning a lot about Abby over the last 2.5 minutes.
Call it the universe, call it Jesus, whatever. And the voice just said, don't give up. And that gave me enough strength to kind of make it through. And I kind of think that everything sort of worked out. So I would tell my 18-year-old self, mm-hmm. don't give up.
So I'll do mine quickly because it's sort of close to what yours are also. And that's things work out. You don't know it when you're 18. You don't know it when you're like in your early 20s also. But any major thing that has come in my life, I have been so stressed out about the outcome. And in looking back at it, yeah, it was stressful at the time. But you know what? Things work out. They're going to be okay.
Mine is in line with what you guys have said. And it's funny because things work out was also my other one. But then I landed on believe in yourself. Because that's what I think my issue was when I was younger. I just didn't believe that things would go right. I didn't believe that I was enough, that I had what it takes, and everything will work out in the end, so long as you just keep your faith and believe in yourself. So I think that would have been my message to me.
Cass.
Find your passion. So I feel like I was pretty aimless at 18. And this was like, for those listening, like you guys, before the internet, before TikTok, before all this like opportunities to find things to be interested in. So I was interested in a lot of stuff, but I kind of just floated through college, like taking classes here and there. And I didn't have a real passion until my senior year and I discovered really photography. And I wish I had something earlier. I wish I had more direction rather than just kind of floating aimlessly. I know college is about finding yourself, but that's what I would tell myself, is to really get out and search for your passion and focus on it.
That's good. This dude, according to Ellie here, never treated her well when they were together. Now dude's circling back because he needs some money. Should she pay him or not? Hey, Ellie, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Brett. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us this morning. Okay, tell us about this dude and why you're even a little bit conflicted on giving him some cash back.
So, man, it's a long story, but I'll try to condense it. So basically, I was in this relationship for 2 years with this guy, and he's an immigrant. And one day he showed me all this cash he had sitting around. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, let me help you. He doesn't have Social Security. And I was like, let me invest this money for you. And then I was like, I'll keep it separate. Like, because at the time I was thinking he's a good guy. And I was like, you know, whatever happens between us, like, as long as he always does right by me, I always do right by him, even if we're not together, like, whatever, this money is separate. I always respect him. And so I invested about $40,000 for this guy. And then 2 years later, I found out basically the whole time he's lying, cheating, all this stuff after, you know, it was a pretty typical toxic relationship after telling him over and over again, like, tell me the truth, whatever, blah, blah, blah. All I want is the truth. Even if, like, I get it, people mess up, nobody's perfect, I'll understand. And he lied to the very end until I had to talk to somebody else about kind of what he was doing. And then she told me everything and I told her everything. Anyway, I talked to another girl. We were somehow both like the main girl and the side girl and at different times. And it was just full of lies. And I just never felt more honestly betrayed and all that stuff. So now I have all this money and I haven't blocked on everything. And I mean, the reality is financially, I don't need the money. I'm very lucky and blessed in life. So it won't really make a difference in my life. But after talking to my friend, this all happened a couple of weeks ago. After talking to my friends, everyone's saying, keep the money. He doesn't deserve the money. Like, this is the consequences of what he did, blah, blah, blah. And I just don't know what to do.
Well, if you're calling us, I think you do. I think your conscience is getting to you here. Okay, so just to break this down. He's an immigrant, doesn't have the means to go ahead and save and invest his own money. So you have an understanding in this field. You invest $50,000 for him. You guys are in a romantic relationship, but he's a real D-bag. You don't know it behind the scenes for a couple of years. You finally find out. You break up. You move on your way, and you still have his investment money and the profits that he made from your investment also. You can give that money back, but you're like, okay, is this the penalty? for him being such a D-bag for 2 years, do I keep this money? Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right.
Do we just want to go around? Do we just want to go around the horn?
Who was it?
I'm curious, Ellie, after you made the investment after 2 years, how much money are we talking here?
Actually, it's depreciated since the original investment. So it's probably around maybe 35 now.
Okay, $35,000 that he gave you in good faith that you invested under your name to help him out because of his immigrant status. Ellie, you got to give the money back.
You know that, Ellie. You wouldn't be on the phone with us if you didn't know that.
I mean, I applaud your girlfriends for trying to convince you to keep said money. Because if I was your girlfriend, I might be doing the same thing. No, I think you would feel icky forever knowing you kept that money. I get that he's a D-bag and that, you know, in ways he doesn't deserve it. But I think to clear your conscience and to be the better person and to be better than him is just to give his money back.
What you got, Mom?
For me, I get it. I understand the feeling of feeling like all he cares about is the money and with all that he's done to you and feeling like this is your opportunity to get him back. But if I were in his position, I would feel like if I needed the money, I might consider listening to your friends. but if I'm already blessed and I know that and I'm in a good position, my conscience wouldn't be able to allow me to deal with keeping the money. So in a situation like that, I would just be accountable for the fact that I chose to deal with him, and that's my consequence, and now you get to be free, and you free yourself by giving him that money back.
Ellie, here's my question for you. If you had to put a price on his shady behavior, how much would you say that was worth?
Oh, man, you can't put a price on time.
That is true.
Priceless.
That's true. Well, it sounded like $35,000. So I'm gonna give my good person answer real quick before I dive in. The right thing to do is to give the money back. But I will say, you could technically, emotional damages are worth something in court.
They are.
You could tell them that, and you could just take some money. But I'm gonna say, as a good person, you should probably give it all back.
It depreciated to about $25.
It's a lot of hurt. All right, Ellie, I'm gonna let you choose your own adventure. Okay, I'll just say this: that in my lifetime, the only regrets I ever have in my life are when I betrayed my own integrity. That's the only time where I haven't been able to look at myself in the mirror and go, dude, you knew what the right thing to do. That wasn't cool, man. And it kind of affects your self-esteem in the long run. Second thing is, if you weren't going to go that route, $35,000 to Burt's Big Adventure would be amazing.
disappointed in myself as chairwoman of the board that I didn't think of that.
How dare you? Look, Ellie, you're a good person, or you wouldn't even be struggling with this right now. I think, you know what? Take the, not even the loss on it, just get him out of your life and do it cleanly. Pay him off, be done with it, and move on with your life. And don't be tied to him in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that is probably the right thing.
Okay.
Probably. Not it's the right thing.
That advice just cost you $35,000. All right, Ellie, good luck, and check back with us and let us know what you did, okay?
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right.
Like, I never should have reached out to them.
Nope.
Should have just listened to my friend.
She already knew. When she reached out, she already knew what it was.
Yeah.
She's too good a person to be able to do that.
The Burt Show.
There are bucket list items, and apparently there are anti-bucket list items.
Mm.
So anti-bucket list items are items that you never want to do again or never want to do in the first place. And this is where we first heard about anti-bucket list.
Oh, yes, because this is an anti-bucket list.
Stuff that you don't ever want to do.
You never want to do it again. I would be happy if I never saw another opera again. Okay. What would be on your anti-bucket list?
I never want to milk a cow again. My grandfather was a farmer in Shropshire, and he once showed me how you milk a cow by hand, and it kills your hands, and you walk around like that for hours afterwards. Never
right.
again.
All right, so Bert tasked all of us to come up with our anti-bucket list. These could be things we never want to do again or things that we don't want to do, period. And I'm going to kick it off. And this is basically, tell me you're in radio without telling me you're in radio. This was a really, 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 really easy list for me to put together. So number one, squirt lemon juice in my eye. Number two, the cinnamon challenge, because I inhaled it and got sent to the hospital. Number three, get duct tape to a pole holding up a sign that says honk if you have herpes too.
Oh.
Jello wrestling with rugby players from New York.
That actually sounds very fun.
So the Jello wasn't solid. It was liquid. So we were just Jello wrestling in like Jello soup. It was so gross. Oh,
were they female rugby players?
Yes.
Oh, that's not. If that's your idea of fun, that's great. That wasn't my idea of fun.
It's not a Travis Kelce looking man coming and throwing you around in a good way.
That's what I thought was going to happen. I was like, sign me up. Put that on my bucket list.
Spring break, Daytona. And we all, myself and three friends did Jello wrestling and it was the stupidest thing ever.
Did you get really bruised from it too or something?
I had her whole handprint was on my arm from where she grabbed me and like flipped me over and like literally just, I was a rag doll.
Wow.
A rag doll.
She didn't take it easy on you.
No.
She did that to you. Imagine her boyfriend.
Yeah. Good luck to them. Number one on the list is pose nude for an art class. I will never, ever, ever.
You did that?
Yeah, lost a bet on the show.
Did you feel awkward or did you feel empowered?
Awkward. Hated every second of it. Will never, ever, 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 ever do it again.
Okay.
Which is why it's on my anti-bucket list.
Okay.
Do not recommend. 10 out of 10. Do not recommend. and then last one, date.
I would hope not.
I am a happily married woman right now, and I hope that's the way it remains, because listening to you guys, that is the last thing I want to do.
Mm-hmm. God, it's miserable.
All right, so Mo, your anti-bucket list, sir.
Okay, I think I'm done with the nudist colonies.
Yep.
I don't want to be naked in public anymore.
You went to a nudist colony?
Yeah, I lost a bet also right here on the Bird Show.
Yeah, remind me to never make a bet with y'all.
Don't. You thought wearing a diaper was bad?
Funny you'd bring that up, KK. I know.
We should revisit our worst bet payoffs for Abby so she knows the trauma that she missed.
Oh, okay. For sure.
At some point.
We'll do a grand list of all of our bet payoffs over the years.
Y'all got to be afraid of HR.
Yeah. We actually have one now.
So, yes, I'm done with the diapers. I don't want to go camping again. Mm. I went camping once. I did not enjoy that. I don't want to be pregnant or wear heels anymore. God bless the ladies. That was tough. I don't want to climb any mountains. That's never been my thing. I have been crapped on by a bird before.
Me too.
You have too?
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Surprisingly solid.
Yeah, I love how they're like, it's good luck because it's such a crappy experience. Uh-huh. Like, you're like, we need to say something to make this better.
And I was eating pizza at the time. And he got my pizza too.
No. Me, do you think it was ranch?
No.
Was it New York pizza?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that makes it even worse.
Yep. So, yeah, that was pigeon poo right there.
Yeah.
I'm having pigeon pizza.
Drive anywhere that's more than 2 hours long. No more road trips for me.
Oh, okay.
And swim with sharks. Did it once, never want to do it again.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's a solid anti-bucket list.
Thank you.
All right, Abby?
Oh, mine are surprisingly serious, but we start out light. So the first one is I never want to eat an oyster again. The texture is so like... It's literally like you're eating snot, except people are expecting you to enjoy it. They're like, aren't these delicious? And I'm like, you're psychotic. I don't want to do anything thrill seeker-ish. Like, I don't want to bungee jump. I ain't going skydiving.
Just once.
No, I ain't going swimming with sharks. I like being alive for the most part. Ask me on a bad day. Maybe I'll be into it. Number three, I don't want to go on another date that I'm not excited about. I feel like I've followed the advice of everyone being like, you know, give them a chance. Maybe I'm so sick of going out with people that I'm not into. And maybe I'll get to a point where I will be open-minded again, but I want to be closed-minded AF for the next couple years and just go out with people that I'm really excited about.
Which is why we didn't pursue anybody in the matchmaking segment, because if you're not feeling it, then don't force it.
Exactly. I never want to experience unrequited love again. I wouldn't say like I was ever in love with someone, but I definitely feel like I've had a series of people where I've been really into them and they have not been into me. And that is just sad and pathetic. So I never want to do that again. And I also never want to lose another friend to pride. I never want to put my pride above my friendships. And I always want to be the first to apologize and the first to make amends. So
you went pride, we went nudity.
Yeah, right. You were nudity.
I did less bets than y'all, so I had to fill the spaces.
All right, Cassie, your anti-bucket list.
We got a couple of commonalities, right? Or I do with you guys. So skydiving, thrill seeking, cage diving with great whites. Absolutely not. Never. Literally never will I skydive. Climb Mount Everest. Mo, you said mountains. Specifically for me, it's Mount Everest. I mean, it's why would you do that? I don't understand it. hard drugs. I have never done them and I never want to do them. Mm. I'm talking about the hard drugs. Like if you think
like the snowy stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Go to Australia. I wanted to go there for so long, but everything I see coming out of that country is a giant snake, a giant spider, or a tiny deadly octopus. It's just, I'm like, how do you guys survive there? It is a wild, wild land of creatures that want to kill you.
Well, everyone's just like the crocodile hunter there. Yeah. We think he's like a big star. He's just your Joe next door.
There was a picture in Australia of like a shark, like a great white and a saltwater crocodile in the same shot on the beach. No, thank you. And then this one is more serious. Not take risks while I'm young. Like, I wish I had done more things like study abroad or like gotten out of my comfort zone more. And I look back, I wish I had joined a sorority. Like, I know that's not risky, but for me, it was just
sort of depending on the sorority, it can be a little risky.
It was outside of my comfort zone, and I wish I had done those things.
All right. I think those are all solid anti-bucket lists.
Look, it happens all the time with parents that there's never going to be anybody good enough to date your kid. Never, 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 never. So maybe you start making things up in your head that are worse than they really are just so you can kind of create some tension and break them up.
Yeah, I feel like for me, if I ever do choose to become a parent, this is going to be one of the hardest things for me is you have this picture you paint for your kid to where you feel like their life is going to end up in a certain way. But the problem is you're not holding the paintbrush. Your kids are. And sometimes that picture is going to look a little bit different. So my friend came to me with a question that I don't know why she came to me with this because I don't have the answers. But she's like, I feel like my parents like my sister's new boyfriend or dislike my sister's new boyfriend for just kind of stupid and petty reasons. So for a little backstory, my friend's sister is kind of like me. She's always been sort of chronically single. She had one really serious boyfriend in college and, you know, they thought they were going to get married and then like kind of out of the blue, they broke up. And it was this whole thing with the family because the family really liked him. And it was like the breaking apart of this family that they thought that they were going to have. So, I mean, years are going by and she's still out in the dating world and not really finding the right person. And all of a sudden she's on the dating apps and she comes across this guy that she thinks is cute. He thinks she's cute. And they start dating and it's going really well. So my friend is telling me about this and she's really excited for her sister because it's nice for her to be off the market after being in these streets for so long. And I'm like, show me a picture. Let me see what they look like. And I don't know if you guys are like this at all, but when a couple just kind of matches each other's energy in a photo, it's just really satisfying. Like when a couple looks good together, I'm like, yes, that's how it should be. Like they match each other's energy really well. I can totally see how these two would be attracted to each other. So because everyone kind of lives in the same city, this family, like the sister's friend, and the parents, they hang out a lot. So the boyfriend got introduced to the family like somewhat early on. Like they went out to dinner like a couple of months into dating and the parents were like, okay, he's nice, it's cool. And then as things started to get more serious, the parents were like, oh, like you weren't joking about this guy. You're actually like really into him. And the sister is really frustrated because she feels like this is the one for her. Like this is going to the kind of relationship that's going to lead to marriage. But the family behind the scenes is kind of communicating with her. Like, I don't know. We don't really feel like he's right for you. He's kind of quiet. He doesn't really match he's not as outgoing as the rest of the family is. We just don't really feel like he fits in. And she, the girlfriend, is really frustrated by this because she's like, have you all not seen the struggle I've been through for the last couple of years? And I finally find someone that I really gel with. Like, why can't you guys just be happy for me and accept this guy just because he's not doing anything wrong? He's not out here cheating on me. He's not like another girl's photos on Instagram. He's a good dude. He's the kind of guy that I could set up a future with. Why can't you just get on board with this? And my friend, the sister of the girlfriend, is also really frustrated with this because the parents are not being super receptive despite the fact that they just don't like him. Like, there's really no reason. They're just kind of like, he doesn't really fit in. And she doesn't know how to handle this. And I'm like, well, don't look at me. I've never dealt with this before. And she's wondering, how can she get the parents on board with accepting him even though he's not whatever they pictured for the girlfriend to be with? He's not the right fit in their minds for her.
So this was an issue that I dealt with when I first started dating my now husband. One parent was not really super stoked about him and thought he was riding my coattails, so to speak, and taking advantage of me because that was just her perspective, which wasn't true. So I wasn't going to be able to convince her otherwise. So at one point, it's just like, this is a person I love and this is a person I'm going to be with. Either you accept it or you don't. And that was just... And that was the end of that. And because I had had several conversations, and it was, I never took them like, I didn't take them poorly, because it was coming from a place of love and of like genuine parental concern. And I get that. But I just ultimately, like, this is my decision and I need you to honor it and I need you to respect it. Like, you don't have to agree, but I need you to respect it.
Was this before they even met him?
No, it was after.
After.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, okay. It's like a couple years in.
All right.
Time will tell. Mm-hmm. And now here we are almost 20 years later and we have a beautiful life and a beautiful child and, you know, he's been accepted.
Takes a while, but yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's really not much you can do. I mean, I don't have kids, but I've had similar experiences in having to watch my sister's date. And most of the time, the guy that they choose, I would know as their older brother, that's not the guy. And I would feel like they could do better, but mm-hmm. I had to learn that's not about me. Those experiences are not about me. Like, that's for them to go through and to deal with, and you kind of just have to support regardless.
Yeah, I think this is where parents make a mistake in a lot of different cases, is that you're interpreting what you think their happiness looks like mm-hmm. rather than just letting them be happy and figuring it out themselves. Time is going to take care of this whole thing.
I know. It's hard to see your kid choose a life that you wouldn't choose, but oh my God, take it from me. These streets is cold. Like, let him be happy. Dang it.
The Burt Show.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All right, so maybe being too nice is ruining your life. Jackson, you don't have a problem with this?
You'll ever know when you're scrolling through your For You page and sometimes it really says, like, For You page and kind of hits you a little deeper than you ever thought it would after you saw your 18th cat meme?
Like when you see some Ted Bundy clips about, like, oh, maybe he was right.
Yeah, you start justifying it a little bit.
That's your
right?
For You page.
Abby is very upset that you killed her Tamagotchi.
Safe for court, Abby. And so this exact thing happened to me a few days ago and where I was scrolling and there was this video that popped up and the whole thing is like 6 minutes long and it's a little rambly, but the whole crux of it is basically how this guy is saying that being nice sometimes can be the thing that's hindering you from living a complete and full life. And this is from @KTVille_ on TikTok.
When you think of being nice, like what comes to your head? Like, oh my God, if someone tells you, like, you're so nice, like, you'd feel great. You'd be like, oh my God, I am nice. Like, people like me. No. When people say that you are nice, people pretty much mean that there's no friction between you and them. It's like a breeze. And if you're someone who has not practiced that kind of idea of friction, to be like, to disagree, then anything that has to do with a slightest bit of friction with other people feels like, oh my god, like they're gonna hate me. Because in my experience, let me tell you what not being nice is all about. Not being nice means that you have the ability to be honest and truthful about everything that you want to say. Not being nice pretty much makes you feel like your authentic self. It doesn't matter if you're going to hurt the other person or if not, they're not going to like what you're going to say. At least you can be fully truthful and authentic about what you are going to say into the world.
That hits hard. And when I think about using the adjective nice, like when somebody asks me like, hey, what about that person? Oh, he's nice. Yeah. Like it's not really the compliment you think it is.
Feels mid.
It's total mid.
See, for me, like being nice and being a pushover are two different things.
For some, it's one and the same.
Like if you're line. In the yeah. dating world, if you're nice, I think that you want somebody that's assertive, somebody that will stick up for themselves, you know, but when you're a pushover, that's when the real turnoff begins.
I think that being nice sometimes, like you're saying, the lines are very thin between being nice and also people-pleasing tendencies that people have. And so when you combine those two things together, it's not saying that being nice inherently is a bad thing, mm-hmm. but when you take it too far into that next level, it can get a little bit complicated with your personal relationships.
So it's not a bad thing for the world around you, but it can be a bad thing for you.
Exactly. It's like being nice is not really the problem. It's just the fact that people unfortunately take advantage of kindness. Mm-hmm. And then so yeah. because of that, you're like forced to be assertive at times when being nice wouldn't really be an issue if people didn't treat people who are nice the way they do.
You're nice up until the point where they're pushing and then you push back and then you're not so nice anymore.
Exactly.
Oh, what a jerk.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not getting your way now. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm a jerk because you pushed me here. You had to jerk first before I could jerk.
It's just boundaries, right? And I think when you're too nice, then you don't have those boundaries and that's when people take advantage of you. And then when you put your foot down, then they're like, oh, I really misread that person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, go ahead.
And I think this isn't saying don't be kind. Like, they're two different things, right? But being nice is making yourself more palatable and pleasant based on who you're around. And if that's what's going to crush your boundaries, mm-hmm. then it's time to lock it down.
It's absolutely, it's not saying don't be kind. And it's also not saying to go out and be mean. Yeah. It's being a little bit more authentic. And I feel like I find myself in these situations a lot of times where the people-pleasing part of me mm-hmm. comes out, where I get invited to go do something and I know that maybe I have tentative plans with other people, but I'll kind of do this wraparound way of saying yes or maybe, and I'm really just delaying saying no eventually later. And I find myself doing this all the time.
So I really do want to clarify for some of the people listening that, once again, we're not saying nice is a bad thing. And we're not saying that you should go around just saying anything that comes to your head because you feel like that's what's making you be your authentic self. Let's reiterate. We should still be kind to one another. There's a way to be kind without also being a doormat.
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%. And again, sometimes those lines get blurred. And I don't know. I feel like part of me being now in my later 20s is figuring out when the appropriate times are to say no, and knowing that people don't take it personally when you say no to them. If I get turned down for plans that I...
I think they do.
Some do. I guess I'm thinking from like my own perspective. If I ask someone to go do something with me and they, you know, respectfully bow out immediately, I don't think twice about it. And in their head, maybe they are thinking, man, maybe I should have said maybe and like kind of let them along a little bit more. But for me, I'm always like I don't give it a second thought after the fact.
I do think that we tend to think we mean more to people than we actually do. Or they, you know, they're thinking about us a lot more than we realize.
Yes. We're the star of our universe. Exactly. Yeah. We're the star of our own movie.
Right.
I mean, I feel like it's just a matter of balancing things out. And like, overthinking is such a problem when it comes to things like this. So you're right. You are always the star in your own movie. You always, you know, emphasize your own importance so much more than it actually makes sense to do that for. But go out there, still be kind, still be nice, but don't be a doormat.
The Bird Show.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.